Okay, well, we are going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We've been talking about faithfulness. And so today, I want to focus on the fact that God is faithful. If you put up the first slide, this is 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who calls you, who also you can stand, and we'll just read it together. So it says, faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:24. You can go ahead and be seated. I'm actually going to kind of go backwards because that's just kind of how I felt led to do it. And so we're going to start at 1 Thessalonians 5:24, and then we're going to read backwards. So verse 23, if you go ahead and put up the next one, it says, and the God of peace, the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. Oh, I forgot about this one. Just in case you're concerned, you know, God will make you whole. And sometimes a picture is worth a thousand words, and it will remind you of something important. So just remember, do not worry, that God will make you whole. Because, and that this is this verse, is that the verse that we're about to study. So now you can go ahead and go to the next one. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely and make your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is an awesome verse when you think about it. And we're going to do that this morning. We're going to think about it because it is awesome to think of what this verse is saying. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now, and the King James Version, actually, will you just put that up, Joe, in the King James Version? Because I want to show you, if you're not aware, whenever you read in the King James Version, and in the New King James as well, they will put the words that were added by the translators in italics. And so sometimes, just to see what it says, I will read it without the italics. And so the words, I pray God, can you put it in the King James Version, Joe? That's the New King James, just because it's a little bit different. And it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And then the I pray God is added by the translators. So it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is amazing. You know, spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of Jesus. What does that look like, and how can that be possible? Because what's awesome is that the verse that follows this one is the first verse that we read. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. So our God is faithful, and he will do this in our lives. He will sanctify us so completely that we can be preserved blameless. What's awesome is it doesn't matter where we've come from. It doesn't matter, you know, what our background is. It doesn't matter what, you know, a bunch of things don't matter. When we come to the foot of the cross, my mom used to say the ground is level at the cross, because no matter who we are or where we've come from, Jesus' blood covers us all the same, and it makes us all white as snow. And so God is the one who does it. Now, sanctify is an important word. A lot of times I have grown up in church and I hear these words, but what I have learned as I've gotten older is a lot of words I've heard and I know the context, but I don't know the meaning. And somebody asked me, what does that mean? Like my kids will ask me, what does that mean? I don't know. Let me look it up in the dictionary, you know, on my phone, of course, because nobody actually pulls out a dictionary anymore. At least most people don't. You know, you type it into Google and, you know, Webster comes up and all these other dictionaries come up, you know. And so, well, I'm sure some people do use dictionaries. I don't anymore. So the word sanctify, if you put up the next slide, Joe, there are a bunch of definitions on my Bible app that I use on my phone. It gives two people's definitions. It gives Thayer's definition and then gives the Strong's dictionary, which is a Greek and Hebrew dictionary. So Thayer's definition of sanctify means to render or acknowledge to be venerable or hallow. Now, if you're like me, I read these words and then I have to look up more words because I don't know what venerable means, which means to basically to cause to respect because of wisdom or character. And so it continues to separate from profane things and dedicate to God, to consecrate things to God, to dedicate people to God, to purify, to cleanse externally, to purify by the act of making amends, free from the guilt of sin, to purify internally by renewing of the soul. And then Strong's definition is to make holy, that is ceremonially to purify or consecrate, mentally to be holy and sanctify. That is what God does in our lives once we surrender ourselves to Him. Now, this is a partnership. This is what's so important, is that we cannot make it all God to do, and we don't have a part in it, because these verses we're going to read in just a minute, the verses that precede verse 23 and 24, because those verses are commands to us as Christians what to do, because we have things that God tells us that we are to do as Christians. But if we make it all about me, that I'm going to do it and I'm not connected to God and I don't need His grace, then it becomes all about me. And you will fall that way. I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't matter how Christian you were raised. You cannot live a Christian life apart from Him. It is not possible. If that was possible, Jesus didn't need to die on the cross. All of us could have done it on our own, or the really good ones could have done it on their own. It doesn't work like that. We need Him. We need His grace. We need His strength. But the first part, I want you to notice, to render or acknowledge, to be venerable or hallow, a lot of it starts with understanding who we are. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2 says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So notice, this is what Paul wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to the church at Corinth. If you read about Corinth, it was not a Christian city. There was a lot of stuff that went on in Corinth. And a lot of these Christians that have been saved, they did not grow up just all of them. Now, because the church was a mixture of Jews and Gentiles, some of them had grown up Jewish, some of them were Gentiles, and they were coming into a relationship with Jesus. But this is what Paul says to them, and this is what the Holy Spirit spoke through them, through him. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them which are sanctified, which we're going to talk about that some more today, in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. If you have been called, felt the pulling to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus, it is not just because you had a good day and felt the need to be holy. It is because God Almighty is calling you to be a saint. It's because He chose you. The Bible says He chose us. And so we didn't choose Him. It's not just because I wake up one day and I'm feeling particularly good today, so I'm going to try to be a Christian today. I am called by God Almighty into relationship with Him. And so this says, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So we, even though we are not in the city of Corinth, we are called by the name of Jesus. We are called into relationship with Him, and we are called to be saints. And the way that we do that is through the partnership between us and God. We cannot save ourselves again or make ourselves worthy. But once we have been saved, this partnership, when I surrender and His power enables me, I am continually becoming more like Jesus. My mom has said that years when she was a new Christian, had just gotten saved, she said, the pastor's wife said to her, you are doing things now that would be a sin for me. And she said, she was like, kind of like, well, what am I doing that's a sin to you? The reason that the pastor's wife could say that is because we, our Christian life, the change of our spirit, and when we are saved by His grace, is instantaneous. The change of our mind and aligning ourselves with God's will and learning how to walk with Him is progressive. So that's why there are things that I felt fine. And even now, honestly, I watch movies that I watched years ago and I go, oh my gosh, how did I watch that? Like, you know, but at the time, I mean, maybe I felt convicted while I was watching it and I just didn't have the strength at the moment to turn it off. Or maybe as we walk with the Lord, you know, there are things I have to train my children. This is not okay. You cannot act this way. I'm sure Jude will make it into about every message, because if you've ever had a two-year-old, you know, they have a lot of opinions, and their inner opinions intersect with yours quite often. And I have to train him, no, you cannot throw your car down and throw yourself on the floor and scream at everybody because you didn't get your way. Like, that's not acceptable. But in his mind right now, unless I train him and tell him otherwise, he thinks that's a good idea, you know? And so us walking with the Lord is a continual training. It's a continual process. We submit and surrender our lives to him. And then he, through his divine, sometimes through his divine power, and sometimes through partnership with us, changes us. And I say that because there have been times that it's like God just miraculously changed me in certain areas. And it is awesome. You're like looking at other people, not really. But, you know, in those moments, it's easy to be like, why don't all you people get it together? Like, this is easy, you know, because there are times that God just changes us. There are other times that God says, walk with me. And fast and pray and spend some more time in the Word and let your mind be renewed. And so it's a work in progress. Let's read verses 14 through 22. So these are the verses preceding verse 23 and 24. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies. Prove or test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form, or the King James says, every appearance of evil. So these are the things that are commanded for us to do. This is part of the sanctification process. This is part of us becoming more like Jesus, is that we are obedient in the things that he is showing us what to do. So I want to look at verse 22. Because we're not going to be able to go through and cover all of these commands, but I do want to look at a few. And verse 22 says, abstain from every form or appearance of evil. The word abstain means to refrain, which means to stop oneself from doing or to hold oneself off. So stop yourself. I'm just going to kind of rephrase it. Stop yourself from doing something that you want to do or about to do is what it's saying. If it appears evil, if it has the appearance or the form of evil. Appearance is the way that someone or something looks. And this is how sometimes God begins to sanctify us, is that things that we felt okay before, all of a sudden we realize, oh, that might not look right for me as a Christian. And the idea that the world has that I'm going to live my life and you live yours and you can't tell me what to do and we, you know, everybody's separate from each other, that's simply not true. We are all affecting each other. And I can do what I want all day long, but I will affect multiple people if I do that. I will affect my husband. I will affect everyone in my family. I will affect people in this church. Why? Because we are influencing each other, and my decisions affect you, affect other people. And so this says abstain or hold yourself off from every appearance of evil. Why? Because my life is supposed to be light. As a Christian, I am to be salt and light, Jesus said. And so when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with me about something that might not appear Christian, it's because not only is it sanctifying me, is it changing my mindset about what's okay, but it's also helping me to be light to others. Because if I don't consider how what I do appears to the rest of the world, then I can make, you know, I can think that I'm doing okay, that it really doesn't matter, but it does matter. And so we do have to abstain from the appearance of evil. Now, God will show you what that means, because like I said, it's progressive. And what God is dealing with you about is different than what God is dealing with me about. And it might be that where you are today, something that you go to do today that you did a year ago, and all of a sudden you feel like, I don't need to do that. I don't need to watch that show. I don't need to say that word. I don't need to respond like that to those people. And that it's progressive. So it's important, though, as we listen to him and lean on his strength, when we feel weak, because we will feel weak. And initially, when God begins to deal with us about change, it is hard. It's hard for me to change, especially to change from something that I was comfortable doing even as a Christian. And then God begins to put his finger on things and say that motive is wrong and that attitude is wrong and that way that you responded is wrong and that, you know, show that you're watching is wrong and, you know, whatever it is. But as we lean on him, that's when instead of running away from him and strengthening ourselves so that we can do it well to prove ourselves, we run to him. We say, God Almighty, I don't want to give this up. I don't want to change this. I need your help. But I am weak and you are strong. And we focus our attention on him, realizing that he is faithful and he will do it. He can preserve us blameless, spirit, soul, and body. But it's a partnership. He doesn't just zap us and all of our motives are pure and all of our thoughts are pure and all of our attitudes and everything that we do is right. But neither does he just leave us and go, okay, figure it out. Come see me in heaven once you've got it straight. It's a partnership that we walk with him and he walks with us. Look in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. It says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, and once you walked according to the course of this world. I just want to stop for a minute. It's important that we remember what we're reading. And so when the Holy Spirit was speaking through Paul, he's speaking to the church at Ephesus, and he's reminding these people, you used to be this way. You used to be dead in trespasses and sins. You used to be sinners. You used to be continually sinning and doing all of these bad things and living in this way. That's who you used to be, he's saying to them. You who were dead, because any of us apart from a personal surrendered relationship to the Lord Jesus, we are dead in trespasses and sins. It doesn't matter that I was a preacher's daughter. There are plenty of preacher's kids that are not right with Jesus. And so being raised in church was not enough for me. It was when I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus and said, I need you. I am not enough by myself. I need you. And I surrender my life to you. So these people, you who he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of the world. Now, so Paul is talking to the people at Ephesus. The Holy Spirit, though, is speaking to us. Always, never just read the Bible as scripture. Always, we read it as God Almighty speaking to us. And so here, God is saying to us, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, and which you once walked according to the course of the world, acting like everybody else in the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, talking about the enemy, and they are controlled and led by the enemy, basically. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. Because if we are not surrendered to God, we are living for ourselves and also for the devil. That's just how it works. Okay, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And that's so important because we in ourselves, myself, I can speak for myself. I would boast at how well I did if I didn't realize that it had to be because of the grace of God. But it's because of the grace. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we are created. When we watch this baptism in a little bit, it is a picture. It's just a picture of laying down the old life, of being raised in newness of life. And here it says we are his workmanship. That is, we are God's continually. He is continually working on us, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And that's why it's important that we are continually submitting ourselves to the process of God changing us, that we are continually becoming more like Jesus, that we are continually surrendering the things that God is showing us that we need to change, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. So that was God's, it is God's idea. This is God's plan. It's God's idea. Okay, I want to cover one more verse from verses 14 through 22. Verse 21, I know we're skipping around here a lot, but go back. So we're back in 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 says, prove or test all things, hold fast to that which is good. So when I was studying this past week, I was like, what does that mean to prove all things? The word prove, I felt like the Holy Spirit connected it with Romans 12, 2. Because Romans 12, 2, if you put that up, Romans 12, 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That word prove, it means to test, it means to discern. We cannot do either of these verses. We cannot discern what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God without our mind being transformed. They go together. And our mind is transformed as we read the word of God and we let it change us and we let it show us, wow, this is wrong in my life. This Bible is not like any other book that you have. It's not like any other, your Bible app is not like any other app, because the Bible is different in that we read other books, but the Bible reads us. The Bible shows us what's inside of us. It shows us where we don't measure up to the standard of what God is calling us to, and then it enables us to get to where he's calling us to get. And so it says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. In order to know how to do that, we have to allow our mind to be continually being renewed. We have to not be conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing. I preached this a long time ago, that the word renew means to renovate. It's just like when you renovate your house and you take out the old and you bring in the new. So that is what we do continually by allowing the word of God to change our thinking. And I'm telling you, it is vital that we not just do this a few times a week or once a week in church. We need to be renewing our mind every day by the word of God. I was talking to one of my children last night who was just really struggling with, but I have prayed, Mom, and this has not changed. I have not changed. I'm still struggling with the same thing. And I said to him, listen, this is a process. I mean, I would love it if I prayed one time about something and God just instantly changed me and I didn't have to struggle with it anymore. But I told him, and I've never thought about this before, but I told him, it's like a building. And every time that you react the wrong way, it's like putting a brick the wrong direction. But God shows you, hey, that's the wrong direction. And by his power and grace, when you repent, you take that brick back off and you replace it with the right one. And I told him, even humbling yourself to go back and to apologize to whoever you need to apologize to, or eating crow, whatever it is you need to do in order to get the situation right, that is putting a right brick there, because that's building humility in you. It's building your character. And so all of these things are a part of the process of building you into who you're called to be. And that is what life looks like. Sometimes we think, but I have prayed about this and now I just messed up again. Right. But if I have to go and repent, I have just put a brick in the right direction and it's built character in me and it's helping me to change. That is how the change happens. The change requires humility. It requires repentance. It requires obedience. And that, though, is what builds us into who God is calling us to be. And so it renews us. And so as we read the word and it renews our mind, as we come to church and we hear messages, as we listen to things on the radio and we realize, wow, I need to work on that, or I need to change this. A lot of times if God deals with me, I pray right then. God, please help me. I admit that I need to change this. If somebody's talking in church and I realize they are talking to me, I right then, God. In fact, that's why I got distracted while Janine was talking. I was praying right then. And, you know, we just right then, just make a commitment. Lord, help me. Help me to be obedient. Help me in this area that you're showing me that I need to change. And he will do the work in us. But sometimes the way that he does the work is by somebody telling us, hey, you need to change this area. Or we hear a message and we feel convicted. Or we, you know, different things. There's a lot of ways that God works in us. So this sanctification process is just that. It's a process. But we have to cooperate with the process. If you are a Christian, you should not be the same as when you got saved however many years ago. You should not be able to talk the same or act the same or respond to people the same way, because this is a growth pattern. Now, like I said, it's progressive. And my son that I talked to, I was having to explain to him at the age that he is, listen, you're a work in progress. All of us are a work in progress. And if you have fallen over the same thing 10 times, but you know that it's not okay, and you are repenting every time, and you are working to change it, then you are taking those wrong blocks off and replacing them with the right ones. And that's how we do this, is we submit to him and we repent and we allow his life to change us from the inside out. And so as we get ready for our baptism, I want to read these verses just to have these in our mind. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6. No, Romans chapter 6, I'm sorry. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That is what baptism looks like, is we are laid down just as Jesus gave up his life on the cross. We give up our life to God. That means I surrender my rights. I don't have a right to talk however I want to talk and to respond however I feel like responding. I lay down those rights just like Jesus laid down his rights on the cross. And so baptism shows that we are baptized into Christ Jesus and into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. This is verse 4. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I love this, because when we see these be raised up, man, that's the picture of we are raised in newness of life. We get to walk different. We get to think different. We get to allow God to show us who we are. And it is a gift, a beautiful gift, to know that the God that created the universe created us for a relationship with him and shows us how to live every day. If we will walk with him, he will show you how to raise your children. He will show you what you should be doing with you. He will show you how to spend your money. He'll show you how to spend your time. I mean, all of that we submit to God and allow him to show us. And he's so much better at it. He has so much more wisdom than we do. So I just want to play this song as those get ready. The kids are going to come in, because we have a kid that's going to get baptized. So just be aware, they're just going to come and come sit with their parents. But as we get ready for this baptism, this song is, I go through periods of songs where certain songs just really impact me. And this song is one of those for me right now. And I just challenge you, if you should have come up here earlier and you didn't, there is still time. You can still, you know, surrender to the Lord Jesus. We would be glad to pray with you. You can still see breakthrough in your life, because that's what Jesus came to bring us.